I could not go to sleep if I saw another light in another dorm room on. I could not go to my dorm room and go to sleep. I had to go see what they were doing. Why are you still up? And I got into lots of late night PlayStation games or, you know, debates about stuff just from that.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this month's episode of Lest We Forget. Our guest today is a 2004 graduate who served as vice president of the Bank of Jackson after many years in the banking industry. He currently serves on multiple nonprofit boards, is committed to improving our public school system, and is the current mayor of Madison County. Please welcome my guest, AJ Massey. AJ, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. We're so excited to have you.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, as we said, you're a Union alum. So I feel like for all of our students, when you think back to your time at Union, so much of that was spent in the classroom. So was there a specific professor or maybe a class that you just have really fond memories of during your time here?
Well, when I went to class, sorry, students, don't take that from me. I found a way to not go as much as possible, but that really is honestly until I got into my major, until I got into business classes and started to actually see a connection between what I was learning in the classroom and what I might see in the real world. And then I kind of got excited. Some traction was developed. So when I got into the business school, marketing was a fun class, kind of real world stuff, talking about how brands build reputation and build upon their previous success. We looked at that. I liked the finance piece, obviously, with the banking side.
Right.
I wasn't that great at the finance piece. It was more of a grind for me. But I started to, I've always been not great at math. That was been my kind of my weakest subject. But I saw real world math. I saw finance math.
Right.
And so I could kind of connect the two, you know, geometry, maybe a little real world. Algebra is just in the atmosphere for me.
Right.
All that stuff. You know, it's hard to put that into practice in your everyday life. But finance, talking about mortgages and loans and depreciation, things like that, you could see that. At least I could. How that works. So I enjoyed that. And then honestly, my graduate level courses, you know, I had Dan Slater was my first graduate school professor, and he was so great because we sat around a table and we talked for 4 hours. And that's really my job now is talking. So I enjoyed breaking down topics and talking through the way organizations work and the way people react with each other. Learned a lot in that class about how, you know, a strong opinion can sway the group, that group think kind of dynamic, and even some things like that that I've seen in my everyday life where you start to notice those things. Okay, is this really the opinion of the group, or is this the opinion of the strongest personality in the group? And so you can start to weed some of those things out and maybe get to the true answer that the group wants by maybe mitigating or removing that strong personality. Things like that in government happen all the time, and sometimes you just have to weed through it. So you know, once again, until I got into the school of business, I was just kind of trying to figure it out. As soon as I got in the school of business, there was some traction there.
It is pivotal as a student when you finally figure out something that you're passionate about and you get to start taking those classes. Because I'm with you. I had to take, you know, college math and all those kinds of things. I was like, this isn't what I want to do.
Yeah.
This isn't what I'm good at.
Yeah.
But when you do hit that level, how it does ignite something in you of, like you said, this is what I want to do and these are applicable to me versus just, you know, out there in the in the clouds somewhere. So outside of your time here as a student, do you have any fond memories of things outside of the classroom, whether that was with friends or a significant other?
Sure.
What are those fun memories?
Well, I spent my time outside the classroom doing two things. I was hanging out with my fraternity brothers, and my then girlfriend, now wife, was here at Union too with me. So, so those are really the two things that I occupy my time outside of class was spending time with those two groups. So, obviously I was an SA at Union. We had a dynamic class, a group of guys that were, a lot of them were friends of mine from high school. And so moving into college, and my brother was an SA here 4 years ahead of me. So I had a lot of relationships built around his time here.
Yeah.
He also played basketball. So I had a connection with the basketball team and all that world. And, really kind of came into Union with a friend group already developed and understood. My mom worked here for 13 years. So we knew Union well. That was easy. And I just felt really at home. It was a very easy decision to make. And then on top of that, I went away for school for a year and came back here. So, missed my girlfriend, like I said, now wife. And so it was nice to have her see her in the hallway, and obviously that budding romance and love. And
yes.
We've been together a long, long time. So it was just a continuation of our time together. So I've seen Union develop, you know, right after my time is when the tornado happened. Mm-hmm. So the landscape of the campus changed. And I was looking at some pictures on the way up here. It's interesting how the aerial footprint has changed.
Yes.
But we had the dorm room, the what I call the finger dorm rooms. You had mm-hmm. the girls over here and the guys over here. And then you had the common area in the middle. And so that would always would be interesting for just shenanigans with college students.
Absolutely.
And, I was just kind of living it up. I could not go to sleep if I saw another light in another dorm room on. I could not go to my dorm room and go to sleep. I had to go see what they were doing. Why are you still up? And I got into lots of late night PlayStation games or, you know, debates about stuff just from that. Literally walking back to my dorm, see a dorm room light on of somebody I knew. Got to go up there. What are y'all doing here? You know, and then I'd stay up. So that was what occupied my time. And then, of course, intramurals and sports and things like that.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned this a little bit in the first question, but how have you seen your time here at Union, whether personally or professionally, impact your life?
Sure. Well, in my line of work now, and even in postgraduate looking at my banking career, but definitely where I am now, you better know who you are, and mm-hmm. you better know your non-negotiables. You know, we hear that growing up in the church around your dating life, your non-negotiables, yes. and how far is too far. But, you know, I think it's important to do that ethically and morally when you're talking about your career. And if you wait until you're faced with an issue, it's too late. And so, especially now, you know, that was the way our professors in school did. Obviously, the directive is to integrate faith and learning in everything. Right. But I was shocked at how well some of them could do that. And mm-hmm. I would kind of... We'd start the semester, and I'm going, how are we going to connect this to that? And they would do it, and they'd figure out a way to make it, okay, if you're faced with this, what is your kind of ethics that you're going to base on? My job now is making decisions at a high level for 100,000 people, mm-hmm. most of which believe sort of like I do. We're mm-hmm. in the South. We're a predominantly conservative area, so a lot of them think along the lines I do, but not all of them do. And so I have to realize that I have to have some non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. I have to stand. And so I start off with, you know, is it moral? Is it ethical? And then right after that, I have to think about what's best for the citizens of the county. And that's what we have to make decisions on. So if I can move down that continuum really fast, that mm-hmm. helps me do my job better. And so I have to know, where are my moral right. strongholds? Where do I need to step forward? And where do I need to kind of draw a line in the sand? And if you don't have that coming out of school, mm-hmm. Bless your heart, as we say in the South, because you're gonna be right. apt to flow anywhere. You're gonna absorb wherever you are. If you go to school somewhere very kind of liberal or progressive, you're going to pick up some of those things that may not match what you right. really feel inside, but you're going to have that group that you're around. You want to conform. So know who you are, and you do that through your classes and thinking about what you want to do for a career, who you are and your non-negotiables, and making sure that obviously faith-based and what that means to you when you leave.
Right. Well, as you mentioned, being in the political realm, and right now, no matter what end of the spectrum you're on, that can feel very volatile or everything's a hot topic. So how do you navigate that as a believer? And like you said, knowing, you know, you are speaking for many people, but also trying to speak, as you know, to what is true. And sure. like you said, with your non-negotiables. Sure.
Well, a lot of it is really directed by law. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain things that although my ethics would say that I don't want that to occur, or that I am not a fan of that activity or that event or whatever. Legally, you know, our citizens have the rights of certain things. And so if they want to use a park for a revival, I can't stop them from using a county park for revival, just like I can't stop them from using a county park for another event that I may not approve of.
Right.
And because our citizens have the right, they own those parks, so they have the right to do that. So there's some things like that we have to kind of go through. So a lot of it's directed by law. Other than that, once again, you know, I have to go and support and look at our constituents and our citizens as individuals. But I also have to look at our community as a whole, and what's the best, and what's my vision on what's the best for our community. And you know, I've seen, just based on my own faith and my own belief, I've seen a lot of success and good things happen when you have conservative values, and you value mm-hmm. family, mm-hmm. when you value faith, when you value support and encouragement among your community, and helping one another out. All those things that may be larger, basic ethical issues, a lot of them kind of drive back to Scripture and drive back to what the Lord commands us to be and to do. So you know, that's kind of the way I'm able to kind of integrate my faith into what I practice every day, is making sure that those two aren't ever lost.
Yeah.
Once again, I just really feel like it's an analogy That's probably a little cheesy, but you know, I feel like I've got an anchor and my boat is floating all over the world all the time. And, but I know where my anchor is and I know I can't pull that anchor up. It will not come up. I cannot let it come up. As long as that stays in place, I can kind of float and I can function and I can do my job effectively as long as that anchor's there, as long as I know what's basing me. And so, as a faith-based believer and as a faith-based leader, I've got to go reestablish that anchor every day, right? I got to drive in the scripture. I've got to have good friends that encourage me and call me on stuff. And, and I'm not at all surrounded by yes men. I don't like that. I get frustrated with that. You better give me your own opinion. Now I don't have to take it, but you better give me your own opinion and we better clash, because that's how the best thing comes out, is when we work together.
Right. Well, I love that you mentioned, you know, so much of it is dictated by a law that's already in existence. And sometimes those are things we don't necessarily know as a constituent, but is there one area in particular, I'm thinking about this for myself, that you wish your constituents did know a little bit more about when it comes to local government, whether that's how to engage with local government or kind of understanding some of those things that are outside of specific purviews that we kind of assume are within somebody's control?
Sure. I think the biggest thing, that's a great question, by the way. I think the biggest thing I would say for citizens is to use the system that's been built for us. I am one person. I have one office. I have an assistant, and then I have a few people that work around me. But we can't field all of the issues that people have. By design, we have commissioners, right? You have representatives. We have 25 county commissioners that represent every corner of the county, from middle downtown Jackson all the way out to Mercer to Bemis to Three-Way to Adair, wherever you want to talk about throughout the county. And that is your person, that's your voice in the government. So get their number, get their email, and bother them. Tell them what you need. Previous to coming onto the mayorship, I was on the school board. And people would say, oh, I bet your phone's blowing up. And I've always made my cell number public. My cell number has been the same since I was at Union.
Right.
And I've had the same number, and I've made it public. Everybody has it. It just doesn't ring. I mean, it's so crazy that people, I bet you're bothered all the time. I'm just not. But yet, I'll see it on Facebook, or I'll see a complaint or a frustration. And so that's fine. You can do your Facebook frustration thing and vent. But if you really want to impact change, call me. Call me and say, hey, there's an issue with the road outside my neighborhood. I need you to do something about it. I will go fix it. Call your county commissioner. My road superintendent gets called. As a matter of fact, I got an email this morning of a constituent that called my office. My assistant forwarded him to the road superintendent. He's going to go check out the road issue out there. So, you know, we need to hear from you what you want, what you desire. And once again, don't be a problem. But you elected that person. They represent you. If you don't like what's happening in your part of the county, then let them know. Or the county as a whole, let me know. I wish people knew. I'll tell you if I can't fix it. I mean, I'll just straight up tell you, look, this is outside of my control, but I'll tell you how. I won't be a closed door for you. I'll say, you know what? That's more of a state issue. Let me get you in touch with your state representative or your state senator, because those are the people that can change that. Or that's a federal issue. Let me get you in touch with our congressman or our senator at the federal level. I'll help you move the needle on things. But start with us and just communicate. I think it may be a little bit that kind of, you know, I heard, you know, when I was learning CPR back in the day, you know, you're supposed to point at someone and you go call 911 and then you do CPR. Mm-hmm. If you say somebody call 911, nobody calls 911 because they just assume somebody else is doing it. So if you see an issue, don't assume that, well, they'll probably get to it. Just reach out. You're not going to be annoying. You're not going to be a problem as long as you just do it in a respectful way and say, hey, I don't know if you know, but I saw this issue or this is going on, or can you answer this question for me?
Yeah.
Communicate with your people.
Right. I love that, the idea of like working within the structure. This is the structure. This is why it was created. And I think that something that we know from other businesses or other processes, but to take that and apply it to local government and say, okay, well, this is who I'm going to talk to, because then this process is going to get started. Yeah. And so I really like
that. I've always been big on just pushing for the answer, pushing for no or yes, right? I mean, if I have an issue, I mean, go back to my banking world. If we had a process that just didn't make sense, I would ask, why do we do it this way? Well, it's because we've always done it that way. Okay. Can we change it? Well, it's our policy. Okay. Well, policies can be changed. Right. We can take that to the board and change the policy. If they say, well, it's federal regulation, we have to do it this way. I can't change that, right? I will stop that battle. I'm done. It's federal regulation. Maybe I call my congressman, maybe not, but we'll see. You know, but like I said, push until you get that no. If you talk to me and I say, Well, I mean, some of these are easy, right? I get a phone call. This road is awful. Y'all are awful. And I'll look it up and I'll go, you know what? That's actually a City of Jackson road. Let me call Mayor Conger and I'll let him know about your issue.
Right.
Those are easy. You got your answer. Right. You're done with me. Now it's a city issue.
Yeah.
And so some of those are easy, but you know, some of them, like I said, I will let people know, look, I've run this up the flagpole. I don't know what else to do.
Right.
What, you know, and so I will say that communication is key, and it's so cheesy to say, but it's true with marriage or any other relationship. Return your phone calls, return your emails, listen to people, take the ear chewing if you have to, but right. be respectful and be what you were elected to be, which is a servant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, how can we as local constituents better serve and support those who are in local government, whether it's our county commissioners, our mayors, both city and county? How can we support them, encourage them? What are those specific ways that we can do that?
Well, number one, you know, I'm in a Baptist university having this podcast, so pray for your leaders. You know, go and be forward with that and proactive with that. Thank them when you see them. At the same time, pay attention. Pay attention to what's being voted on. All of our meetings are public. Mm-hmm. Every single one we have. Matter of fact, through some state legislation this past year, we have to actually publish an agenda for every meeting. That used to not be the case. We would just have a budget meeting and it would just say budget meeting. And now we actually have to publish 7 days ahead of time at least and say, these are the things we're going to talk about. And so if your issue's on there, you show up and you get public comment time. So pay attention. Another thing I would say is look for opportunities to serve yourself. You know, finding somebody who has the ability, the means, and the desire to run for office is so difficult because, you know, just like me, I had to quit my job to do this.
Right.
My wife and I had worked really hard to be in a position to be able to do that. And I didn't plan to do this. This was not my plan. We had just lived kind of that Dave Ramsey lifestyle and paid off debt, and we'd saved some money. And my wife is very, very conservative as far as spending goes. And so so she's the nerd of the relationship. I'm the free spirit. But, you know, we had saved a pile of money for just for comfort and for peace and for plans. And so, you know, we looked at that as I had the ability to quit my job. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can do that. And, you know, I've got young kids. And so it changes the dynamic of what I do every day and how I do it. So not everybody in my position can do that is my point. There are a lot of people my age are out building businesses and growing careers, and that's what they need to do. But what if you're not? What if you're at that age where you have some extra time and we can help you get in office if you're a good person and you're wanting to do the right thing. People can help you. But so, you know, look for opportunities to serve. We have two openings right now with two big areas to serve in our community, on our school board and on the West Tennessee Healthcare Hospital Board. Those are very laborious jobs. Mm-hmm. They take a lot of time. And you know, we need good people to tell us they're willing to serve in those roles. And so don't wait for somebody to ask you. Throw your hand up and say, hey, I'd like to be considered for that. Or come talk to me. Come talk to your political party, whoever it is, and say, hey, I'd like to be considered for this role, or I was thinking about serving. We'll find a way to get you involved if you're quality and you're paying attention and you're listening and you're doing going about it the right reasons. I'm just telling you, that's one of the biggest frustrations is I see good people who are just apathetic. Mm-hmm. And then I see good people who are just knocking it out of the park with their careers, and I'm fine with that. But if you're sitting back complaining, then kind of that Mother Teresa, be the change you want to see.
Yes. Yes. It's so true. Of the easiest way to make that change is to start participating in the change versus, like you said, only complaining about
it. It's not that bad. Elected office is not that bad. I'm honest when I say that. People just shy away from it because it's all of a sudden you're in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. And you are in some cases. But if you, like I said, if you're doing the right thing and that you believe to be right, what do you have to worry about? Just do your job and listen to your people and represent them as best you can. And once again, you'll be able to, at least you'll have a skin in the game about those changes you want to see.
Yes. Well, AJ, I'm so grateful that you took the time to be with us today. I so appreciate all of your wisdom and insight that you've shared with us. And I hope that all of our viewers will tune in next time as we continue to hear from other Union Bulldogs just like you.